So many people think of events as like a siloed thing. How do we do integrated campaigns with events as the kind of starting point, as well as like the main point, and then funnel everything else around it?
Great events create great brands, but pulling off an event that engages, excites, and connects audiences? Well, that takes a village. And we're that village. My name is Alyssa.
I'm Rachel.
I'm Kelly.
And I'm Felicia.
And you're listening to Great Events, the podcast for all event enthusiasts, creators, and innovators in the world of events and marketing.
Hey, everyone. What's been going on in this wide, wide world of events? My name is Stephanie Sweetland, and I am your host for this week's episode. So today we're going to be covering a question that a lot of marketers struggle with, which is you had a really incredible event, but how do you tie that in-person success to the pipeline? Traditional success metrics like registration numbers, surveys just do not cut it anymore. So we're excited to delve a little bit more in today about how AI can help us connect the dots. My guest today is Nick Bennett. We're so excited to have him join us. Nick has 15 years of experience as an in-house marketing operator and now runs his own consultancy. So Nick spends lots of his time advising clients on demand gen, ABM, community engagement, and more. Nick's also a published author, so really excited to have him on board today. If anybody can help us answer this question, it is Nick.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Yes. All right. So Nick, first question that we wanted to ask you, how have you traditionally seen marketers measure event success?
I think the traditional way has always been through registrations. It's been through, all right, yo, booth scans. All right, hey, we're going to get 500 booth scans. Fantastic. What does that get you at the end of the day? It doesn't really get you pipeline, which is ultimately what we want. And so I think the way that people used to look at events, I always called it field marketing 1.0. It was very much logistical. You know, you're planning the event, you're having a great experience. You move on from the event, what happens next? Who knows? I, for so many years, started talking about field marketing 2.0. So how do you act as an actual part of the sales team's arsenal? How do you make it so that events are a huge part of a pipeline, attribution, revenue, all of those things? And I think we're finally getting to that point where it makes a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. So where do you think that those traditional metrics fall short when it comes to actually connecting them to the pipeline?
I think it's just there's a big disconnect between sales and marketing. I think, and it starts with that. Sales is like, all right, you know, marketing, we're doing all of these events, you're getting all these leads, you're throwing them over the fence. Sales is like, all right, what do I do with them? Like, these are terrible people, they're tire kickers, they're people that just want the free swag. All right, so what do we do? Like, you're spending $100,000, $300,000 to be in an event sometimes, and all you're doing is counting these badge scans, you're sending out a non-personalized email after that says, thanks for stopping by the booth, you know, want to book a demo? No one's going to book a demo right off of that. So it's like, how do you create an experience that people want to be a part of and activations around that that create the experience of where people want to be?
Yeah, absolutely. What are some best practices that marketers can use to try to connect those dots?
I think it goes back to the sales and marketing relationship. How do you be a counterpart to the sales team where it's they feel valued? It's not just, hey, you know, sales team, go do these events, hope for the best. It's more of like, hey, how can we support each other? It's a two-way street. And how do we make sure that everything from both pre-event, during the event, post-event, all flows basically perfectly?
Yeah, absolutely. What signals do you think are most important for marketers to send to sales?
Ooh, so I think it's the hand raisers, definitely the hand raisers. And what does a hand raiser actually mean? It's maybe it's if you are having a booth, it's like, hey, someone comes by, wants to see a demo, and you go through a little bit demo, but they want to see a little bit more. Those are hand raises. They should be followed up with, I wouldn't even say within 24 hours, like immediately a couple hours after the event. It's all of the people that are showing intent of wanting to learn a little bit more. And maybe they're not at the right stage. Maybe they are. But again, they're raising their hand. They want to know more. Those are the people that sales should be following up.
So let me ask you a question, which might be a little tricky, a little bit of a curveball for you. Okay, so we used to always look at you attended an event and you were an MQL. But like you're mentioning, hand raisers are definitely MQLs. But how do you figure out who else at an event should be considered a marketing qualified lead?
I think it depends what your lead scoring model looks like too, because what is an MQL? I don't want to say like I've talked about it a lot, but like is MQL the wrong thing to be looking at? Should you be looking at from an account level like, hey, these are the accounts that are showing intent? Doesn't matter as much who the individual contacts are, but how do we show the accounts and surface that intent level so that we're following up with the right people and the ICP around that? But I also don't agree that any, like, you know, say we get an attendee list from an event, like, should all those people be MQLs? Probably not, because they just registered for an event. I think hand raisers should. I think people that see a demo should. I think people that take multiple steps at an event should. But I don't think everyone that you scan at a, you know, a booth or everyone that you talk to should be considered an MQL.
Yeah. So you anticipated my next question, which is a good one. You're bringing up some really good points for events that we're hosting. Does that change at all for events that you attend?
So when you say events that you attend, can you give me
like
an example?
Like for a trade show,
for
right?
A trade show.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I think it still plays the same, to be honest with you, because I mean, again, I've done lots of trade shows over the years. I'm not saying that booths are the worst thing, because I do think you should have a booth, but I do think that you should have other activations around the booth. And I think those other activations show intent of, you know, hey, maybe you met someone at the booth. Maybe they're coming to a dinner with you. How do we create more signals to get people to want to talk to you? And just showing up at a booth to kind of take some things, maybe you talk for 5 minutes, I don't think that's an MQL. I think it's someone that is a conversation, someone that you can nurture, but I don't think it's someone that you're going to follow up with immediately.
Yeah, that's fair. You mentioned we're gathering lots and lots of different signals at the event, which is fantastic. You can track tons of data, but what actually matters?
So for me, it's a few things. So pipeline influence, pipeline source. I think when you think about influence, like field marketers, and field marketing is what I've done for the majority of my career, a lot of field marketers play in the middle and the bottom of the funnel. So they're not always sourcing stuff, but they are influencing a lot of that pipeline. Now, when I think of an event like this in other events, so trade shows, a lot of times you are sourcing that pipeline and maybe that is the first touch point. So I think pipeline source and influence have to both be looked at. I think cost per opportunity is another thing that you should be looking at. Like for us at ReachDesk, like one thing that we look at is $1,200 to $2,000 like CPO. Like that's our goal. If we can hit in that window, which any event that we do, like we know it's a good event. We also look at what is like, what's the ROI on the specific thing. So I aim for any event that I do is a 10X. So I'll give you an example. Last year, second half of 2025, we did 8 events. We spent, I think it was like $335,000, which in events isn't actually a ton of money. We generated $1.2 million in pipeline from that. So it's about a 10X kind of return on that. And that actually all closed as well.
Mm-hmm. That's such a good point. Because a lot of times people just look at one-to-one spend, which obviously does not scale.
Exactly. And then like it's like, how do you then take those and how do you do micro events around that? That, again, maybe you're accelerating those plays as
yes.
well.
Question around timing for you. How far out from when an event ends do you track pipeline success?
90-day rolling window. Yeah, so like 90 days I like to look at like, you know, hey, we have a 90-day rolling window post-event. We're looking at all of the things. There's about maybe 7 to 10 things I track. Registrations, cool, attendance, great. But again, it's more of like, if I'm going to go sit in a board meeting, or if I'm going to go present to a CFO, like they're going to want to know what's the pipeline? Are we getting anything back for this? So those are a lot of the metrics that I look at.
Yes, definitely. So you've created an impact tracker. Is that right? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
There was really no tools for field marketers and like, again, people that do events. And it was just like, I want to like know. And I was using spreadsheets. Spreadsheets isn't the answer to a lot of things. And it's like, I just went on Lovable and I literally vibe coded it. And I was just like, this is what I want. This is the way that I know I want to get the data across. And I kind of built it and I just put it out there as like a free tool for event marketers. And I was like, go check it out. Like if you want to use it to see if your events are making an impact, here's benchmarks. I actually use Cvent kind of like benchmarks in there as well.
Love
and
that.
So you're able to kind of take these benchmarks and validate if your events are making a difference or not, and then export that, send it to your CFO, send it to your CMO, whoever it is.
Can you walk us through how it works? What things does someone need to input into it?
Yeah, so it's really just kind of spend, like what did you spend on the event? It's more of like opportunities generated. It's literally like 4 or 5 different kind of fillable moments. It takes maybe 5 minutes to fill it in. And it does give you a lot of ideas of like, what can you put in there? Or here's other events that are maybe in your industry that have put in there as well. And so, yeah, I literally did it only because I had the issue.
Right.
And I was like, well, if I'm gonna do it for myself, I'm not gonna gatekeep anything. So I'll put it out there for everyone else too. And lots of people used it and it probably needs an update now. Yeah, it's something I still use regularly.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Let's say you're taking this impact tracker or your results, you're sharing them with the C-suite.
Yes.
How do you approach that conversation?
It's more just so field marketers have to be able to paint a really nice picture. It's like, because again, it's like going back to the attribution conversation. How do we attribute like events? Like, is it first touch, last touch? Is it multi-touch? What does that look like? And so if you can more so paint the picture of like, hey, we saw you at this event. We listened to this podcast. Then we checked out a few of these pieces, landed on your pricing page. If I can go to the C-suite and be like, hey, here's how the experience actually shaped and events was a core piece of it, then I think it's a great way to think of events as a growth engine.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit more about that, events as a growth engine?
I think so many people think of events as like a siloed thing. So many organizations that I talk to say like, oh, we do events, cool. But they don't talk to content. They don't talk to design. They don't talk to brand, content, all of these other pieces. And it's like, if you do events, it needs to be integrated. Integrated campaigns is a great way to think about it. How do we do integrated campaigns with events as the kind of starting point, as well as like the main point, and then funnel everything else around it?
Yeah. Do you look at events as a channel or a tactic or both?
I think it can be both. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it can definitely be both. In the talk that I did the other day, I forget what the number was, but it was like, I think it was like 50% of people were saying that like events was the highest generating revenue channel for them. And I forget the number of people that kind of looked at this, but it was like events obviously work. It's like, how do you tie that picture and that story together to make it more impactful?
All right. So Nick, how is AI changing the game when it comes to reporting for events?
So I think it actually gets rid of a lot of that manual task. Like when I think about like you're downloading lists, you're putting things, you're trying to dedupe all of these names and everything, like AI helps automate a lot of those things that, to be honest, like people probably don't even really want to do. But I do think that like when I think about like this whole AI wave, and obviously I use AI on a regular basis, but like signals and AI, when I think of those two specific things, AI can change or maybe fake a lot of signals, but the one signal it can't change is the people in a room. And so when I think about AI, when I think about events, like AI will always be there to support the back end of events, but the people in the room, the people that you're going and creating this experience for, AI will never be able to replicate that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, 100% agree with that. AI cannot replicate in person without experiences.
Not yet, at least.
Yeah, not yet. Maybe someday. How do you feel about using AI for analysis of that event data?
I use it all the time. And that's when I built that kind of impact tracker, like it uses AI on the backside through the benchmarks of being able to tell like, all right, great. Like when you put in your stuff and you benchmark across all these other people that are submitting their data, like you can see like, all right, great. Here's the analysis. Here's your tier A people that maybe came from this or your tier B people or whatever it is. And it, honestly, it makes it so easy. And like all the MCP connections out there now, it makes it so much easier to like, all right, like, hey, I need to go into Salesforce, but like, I don't really want to go into Salesforce. Like, go find me this, pull me this list, like, tell me this. I can't tell you how much time I save from like events of like just leveraging it for that.
Yes, absolutely. And doing different cuts.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. So are you servicing up any of these AI insights to sales?
So I would say a little bit. I think it's still so early that a lot of the companies that I work with, like they care more about like, all right, great. Are we making an impact? Are we moving the needle from them? I'm sharing the data. I don't tell them how I specifically get it. I probably should, but it's more so like, hey, like, listen, I did an analysis of this. Here's everything that we come from. Here's how you have to act on it and everything from there. But then we kind of just go from that piece of it.
Awesome. So what is your best advice for our listeners?
Ooh, best advice. I would say, think of the new way to do events. And again, it's not transactional. It's people first. It's like, how do you put people at the core of everything that you do? And I was huge believer of that for years. And I still am a huge believer of that. And it's like, how do you go from where events were even a couple of years ago to where events are now, to think about 5 years from now, where events are going to be. And you have to be willing to leverage AI for it. You have to be willing to roll up your sleeves and understand that there's more beyond just registrations and attendees and badge scans and all of that. It's more of how do you tie that unified kind of like collaborative story together? And then how do you share that out to show that events are a true growth engine for your organization?
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's wrap up with some key takeaways. So first takeaway that I got from this wonderful conversation is looking at intent signals that are being surfaced throughout your event and then using that to really help understand, is this driving pipeline? Yes, no. And then how do we surface it up to sales?
Yes.
So I say that's a big one.
Yep.
Next one is definitely leverage Nick's incredible impact tracker. I'm going to be doing that personally, but check it out. There's so much opportunity to connect lots and lots of data with AI, use that to surface up analysis and insights. That's a big one. And then the third one is that events tell a really good story that you can bring to your C-suite, but you have to be connecting it to pipeline and dollars.
Exactly. Yeah, and I do have one more takeaway if
yes,
I could
please,
add. So
please.
Like one thing I totally even forgot about, but like it's something I do every single like event I do is like, how do you leverage gifting throughout this entire process as well? Because events are such a fantastic way to leverage gifts. You know, you have the gifts at the booth and all of that, but like, how do I create a personalized experience for you? Like if you're a VIP kind of like, all right, great. I want you to have this custom box that is Nashville based. And it's like all the best things from Nashville. You open it, it's a handwritten note. Like you can do tiered gifting to not only drive meetings before the event, at the event, but also post event as a great way to stay top of mind when everyone else is just going to send the generic email.
Yes, that is such a good point. And we've used gifting throughout Connect. One of the coolest ways I think is to thank customers who are joining customer listing sessions and advisory boards, but then also, like you mentioned, some of the custom Nashville themed gift boxes have been really neat. Sending those to speakers is thank you.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So Nick, where can we find you?
LinkedIn is probably the place I'm at way too much, but yeah, LinkedIn is the easiest place to find me. Absolutely.
Awesome. Great. Well, we'll see you next time. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you.
Thanks for hanging out with us on Great Events, a podcast by Cvent. If you've been enjoying our podcast, make sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode.
And you can help fellow event professionals and marketers just like you discover great events by leaving us a rating on Apple, Spotify, or your preferred podcast platform.
Stay connected with us on social media for behind-the-scenes content, updates, and some extra doses of inspiration.
Got a great story or an event to share? We want to hear from you. Find us on LinkedIn, send us a DM, or drop us a note at greatevents@cvent.com.
Big thanks to our amazing listeners, our guest speakers, and the incredible team behind the scenes. Remember, every great event begins with great people.
And that's a wrap. Keep creating, keep innovating, and keep joining us as we redefine how to make events great.